The Disruption, by A. Enoch. There are many methods of determining the meaning of a word. The safe and satisfactory course is to use as many as can be brought to bear upon any given expression, avoiding those which are obscure or open to question. The verb catabolo may be approached from many angles. Let us consult some of them. The usage of the word in the scriptures is based on its meaning in the Septuagint. In this Greek version it is used to translate 9 different Hebrew words. These are dimga, tears, Isa.16, 9. Hippil, cast down, 2 Sam.20, 15. 2 Kings 3:19, frequently. Haraz, pull down, Job 12:14. Zek.26, 4. Hishbeel, humble, lay low, Isa.26, 5. Nathash, desert, Zek.29, 5. 31, 12. Natates, tear down, Zek.26, 9. Paul Nates break, Job 16:14. Prove.25, 28. Shagath, corrupt, destroy, Zek.26, 4. Sitim, hate, Job 16:9. The study of these Hebrew words and the passages in which they are rendered by catabolo shows clearly that the etymological meaning downcasting is borne out by the usage in the scriptures which were used by our Lord and his disciples. This is the meaning they would attach to it. Hence they would understand him as speaking of the casting down of the world. The one passage which is thought to contradict this idea is Heb 1:11. Now this is precisely that character of an occurrence which should not be given a decisive voice in this matter. The general lack of knowledge of the subject involved, and its delicacy has deterred us from a definite statement as to its bearing on this subject. Since it is used, however, to annul all the other evidence, we may be pardoned for speaking briefly of its significance. In the first place, it does not speak of birth. Sarah was enabled for the casting down of seed, and this at a time of life when nothing but a miracle would account for it. The physiologists speak of this casting down of seed from the ovaries as a disruption. We must refer the reader to them for the particulars. It is in perfect accord with the usual meaning of the term. As a matter of fact, it was while studying this passage in its physiological aspect, and finding the word disruption used as its physiological equivalent, that the word disruption was first associated with catabole in those discussions concerning it which have since arisen. If, then, the etymology, the usage in the Septuagint, the usage in 10 out of 11 passages in the scriptures are agreeable to the idea of a disruption, and the 11th passage refers to an event which is actually so called by a writer on physiology who describes it, why should we hesitate to acknowledge this meaning? To this we might add the instructive use made of it in the introduction to the second book of the Maccabees, 2 Mac. 2:23-29. He speaks of his unorganized notes by this term, comparing them to the material for a house before it is put together. But the crowning proof lies in the application of this meaning to the passages in which it occurs. As has been previously said, Unsearchable Riches, Volume 1, page 266, in Heb 9:26 we read in our version, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." But it is manifest that he did not appear in the end of the world. And likewise it is manifest that there was no necessity for his suffering consequent upon the foundation of the world. What was there in that which demanded his sacrifice? But if we read, "Since then he must often suffer from the disruption of the world," that is, since sin's entrance, we can trace the connection which the word "for" leads us to expect. It borders on blasphemy to argue that God's work in founding this world was of such a nature as to demand the suffering and sacrifice of Christ. But it is a most solemn and wholesome truth that sin wrought disaster that not only brought suffering, but called for the suffering of Christ to heal its mortal wound. In closest accord with this we read that the Lamb was foreordained before and was slain from this disruption, 1 Peter 1:20, Rev. 1:3-8. Now the Lamb speaks of Christ as a sacrifice. Again we ask, what sacrifice was needed to atone for God's perfect work? But how grand it is to know that even before this disruption God had appointed a Lamb to suffer, and that, in His sight the Lamb was slain the moment sin appeared. May we not see this picture in the Lamb He slew in Eden's garden to clothe our guilty parents? Hebrews 4:3 furnishes us with another notable occurrence. We read, though the works have been taking place from the disruption of the world. What works are here spoken of? The very next verse tells us, for He spoke in a certain place concerning the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest in the seventh day from all His works. This undoubted reference to General 2:2 tells us that the works referred to are those of the 7 days of the first chapter of Genesis. But if this be true, how can it be that they were finished from the foundation of the world? The foundation of the world occurs in General 1:1, and the works were not undertaken until after the disruption of the original creation as recorded in the second verse, where we are told that it became not was waste and void. It is strange English and just as strange Greek to speak of works being finished from. If it were said that they were finished at that day, we would grasp the sense. Finished from is not intelligible. But if we say that they were taking place from the disruption of this world's system, we are not only assigning each term a definite meaning, but we are strictly in harmony with the facts of the case. It is clear that the works from which God rested were not the works of creation in the beginning, but those of restoration, after this perfect creation had been overthrown. The foundation of the world was not laid in any of the 7 days. It is, therefore, impossible that these works took place or were finished previous to this time. On the other hand, it is clear that they began to take place dating from the disruption which destroyed the original creation. In fact, there was no occasion for these works until the disruption had marred all. But the grandest occurrence of our word is in Eph 1:4. We were selected in Christ before the disruption of this world's system when we were holy and without a blemish in His very presence. The Avenue rendering that we should be is without any warrant whatever. Literally it reads to be, but with no thought of contingency whatever. So then, before sin came on the scene to play its horrid part, God selected us, that is, chose us for Himself. And this selection was entirely uninfluenced by sin, and ever since, in Christ, He sees us thus. How marvelous is this thought! His plans and counsels for the earth seem all to date from the disruption which sin wrought, Matt 1:3-35, 25-34, Rev. 1:7-8. But two things find their place before that catastrophe: the love God bears His Son, John 17:24, and the selection of the members of the body of His Christ. These members are indeed last and lowest as to time and rank on earth, but they were first of all mankind in His purpose and will be first again when He begins to reveal His glory. Yes, and will be highest in the final consummation. Copyright Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to main index page.